Thank you, Donna. You know, I had two reasons for picking the title, The Human Miracle. One is the reason that's all about this talk and conversation, and the other is I just wanted a big excuse to call you, all of you, a human miracle. And now I did it, so it's wonderful. So thank you for being a human miracle, and thank you for joining us and all of us for this very, very beautiful, sacred, wonderful time together. You know, I've never been much of a, a community person or a belonger in my life, but I have come to just so honor and treasure the community and the family that all of us happen to be. And I want to really welcome you to a time of deep togetherness, because as you know, while I come up with the words, I really come up with the words because I feel like it's all of our souls joining together, giving me these words. And so I think to me, while my tongue wags and my voice speaks, it's really the voice of all of us speaking, sort of dangling in front of us, not just the carrot, but the truth of who we are. And this talk, this once-a-month talk, is our way of inviting us into that truth in just all sorts of different ways. So I am just thrilled to join with you this evening. And just by way of a side note, Adrian, who is out there, I want you to know I really got the message about your suggestion for a topic for tonight, and I did not choose it, but I want you to know it's sitting there on the shelf just waiting for another month. You know, as before, I used to say that, you know, anytime Rick Pathman gave me a topic, I just relished not doing it. But anyway, that's not the case with you, Adrian. So, the topic is The Human Miracle, and the subtitle I chose for it is Breaking Through the Conundrum of Being Human. And I'm especially excited to have us talk together today about what I want to call our human condition. But right up front, I want to emphasize that we're not really going to enter into this realm of humanness in old typical or regular usual ways. Instead, I want to have us look at humanness through the lens of its miracle quality, or maybe I should say our quality of miracle. So what is the miracle of being human? Well, first of all, I'm not referring just to those times when, for example, a newborn baby enters the world and we all gather around the crib and exclaim, "Wow, what a miracle," or "What a beautiful miracle this child is." Or even, I'm not referring even to those times when, through some divine intervention, something very much out of the ordinary occurs. No, I'd like to invite us to a bigger, deeper, larger, broader, wider perspective about this very funny thing called the human condition and its miraculous nature. Also, I do want to say, just for reference, I'm not referring to modern physics or the ancient spiritual perspective, which is the one that says that being human is an illusion or a maya or a dream. And as you know, many of us have visited that perspective together a lot. And as you know, I'm a big fan of its wisdom. But nah, let's not go there. Let's go instead to a view of humanness that includes a relatively fresh, invigorating, inviting perspective, and here's what I mean. As I break it down to you, and I'm going to focus on three things here. First, you and I are quite familiar with our human physical makeup. For example, the way that primally the four elements, earth, air, fire, water, occupy our bodies and our energy systems. Well, I'd like to share with you today in this conversation how those elements reflect and magnify a miraculous and, I think, too frequently overlooked aspect of our humanness. The second theme is this. You're also quite familiar with the chakras in our energy system, those seven primary ways in which energy takes form and gives life, renews us continually, expresses us energetically, all the way from our ground in the root chakra to our spiritual heights in the crown center. And in that regard, I'd like to describe, briefly at least, how those energy centers reflect and magnify and bring into our life force a somewhat hidden miracle quality of life that's much grander and fuller than the ways we usually put it together when we talk about the chakras. And third, finally, we'll be looking at our light field, that invisible, dynamic, rich, possibility-filled auric space that floats around us and moves through us, that phenomenal light that carries the infinite creative spark and the universe's radiant juice. So when we get there, I'd like to describe that light to you in ways that help us see, again, a miraculous quality of life that we all participate in and flow with and enjoy and embody. So, I guess my question so far is, have I been elusive enough, just evasive enough in my descriptions yet? Well, hopefully I'll get a little more tangible. So you can see already, even though I've been a bit vague, which I'm really quite a good specialist in, I think, and that's why I love having you on mute now, is because I can say whatever I want and nobody can, like, really, laugh at me or talk down to me or, you know, put me down, that kind of thing. It's really great. The only thing better, as those who will be at the silent retreat in California this weekend will attest, the only thing better is when it's like a silent retreat and I do all the talking and you don't talk at all. It's like just, from a human point of view, it's just the best. But really, that's just my issue, and enough about me. So let's look first at our elemental makeup, our precious earth, air, fire, water nature. What we all know from our training, of course, is this, that the earth's substance is within us in the form of earth, which we define a lot of times as our bodies, and water, which we see reflected in our bloodstream, the liquid quality of our digestive system, the liquid nature of our fat cells, etc. We also know that we carry the sun's vitality within us in the form of our fire energy. Our fire constitutes the electrical nature of our nervous system, the drives and urges of our sexual nature, the neural firings of our brain mechanisms, for example. And of course, we know that we incorporate within our human makeup the universe's quality of air, that prana. So what is the miracle of being human? Well, first of all, I'm not referring just to those times when, for example, a newborn baby enters the world and we all gather around the crib and exclaim, wow, what a miracle, or what a beautiful miracle this child is. Or even, I'm not referring even to those times when through some divine intervention, something very much out of the ordinary occurs. No, I'd like to invite us to a bigger, deeper, larger, broader, wider perspective about this very funny thing called the human condition and its miraculous nature. Also, I do want to say, just for reference, I'm not referring to modern physics or the ancient spiritual perspective, which is the one that says that being human is an illusion or a maya or a dream. And as you know, many of us have visited that perspective together a lot. And as you know, I'm a big fan of its wisdom. But let's not go there. Let's go instead to a view of humanness that includes a relatively fresh, invigorating, inviting perspective. And here's what I mean. As I break it down to you, and I'm going to focus on three things here. First, you and I are quite familiar with our human physical makeup. For example, the way that primally the four elements, earth, air, fire, water, occupy our bodies and our energy systems. Well, I'd like to share with you today in this conversation how those elements reflect and magnify a miraculous and, I think, too frequently overlooked aspect of our humanness. The second theme is this. You're also quite familiar with the chakras in our energy system, those seven primary ways in which energy takes form and gives life, renews us continually, expresses us energetically, all the way from our ground in the root chakra to our spiritual heights in the crown center. And in that regard, I'd like to describe, briefly at least, how those energy centers reflect and magnify and bring into our life force a somewhat hidden miracle quality of life that's much grander and fuller than the ways we usually put it together when we talk about the chakras. And third, finally, we'll be looking at our light field, that invisible, dynamic, rich, possibility-filled auric space that floats around us and moves through us, that phenomenal light that carries the infinite creative spark and the universe's radiant juice. So when we get there, I'd like to describe that light to you in ways that help us see, again, a miraculous quality of life that we all participate in and flow with and enjoy and embody. So I guess my question so far is, have I been elusive enough, just evasive enough in my descriptions yet? Well, hopefully I'll get a little more tangible. So you can see already, even though I've been a bit vague, which I'm really quite a good specialist in, I think, and that's why I love having you on mute now, is because I can say whatever I want and nobody can laugh at me or talk down to me or, you know, put me down, that kind of thing. It's really great. The only thing better, as those who will be at the silent retreat in California this weekend will attest, the only thing better is when it's like a silent retreat and I do all the talking and you don't talk at all. It's like just, from a human point of view, it's just the best. But really, that's just my issue, and enough about me. So let's look first at our elemental makeup, our precious earth, air, fire, water nature. What we all know from our training, of course, is this, that the earth's substance is within us in the form of earth, which we define a lot of times as our bodies, and water, which we see reflected in our bloodstream, the liquid quality of our digestive system, the liquid nature of our fat cells, etc. We also know that we carry the sun's vitality within us in the form of our fire energy. Our fire constitutes the electrical nature of our nervous system, the drives and urges of our sexual nature, the neural firings of our brain mechanisms, for example. And of course, we know that we incorporate within our human makeup the universe's quality of air, that prana or chi or vital light that soars through the universe and equally soars through our bodies and energies, giving us life, giving us energetic nurturing, giving us sustenance. So what else could there be about these taken for granted four elements that we don't put much focus on? What other either function do they perform, or what other ways are they a part of us that might open doors to the miracle of our human nature? And really, I think, just as a commentary, it's about at this point that I'd like to invite us just to open to letting that miracle, that human miracle, that miracle of life that really is in and through all the words, in and through our connection, in and through our time together here, just take over in your consciousness, in your presence, in your person, in your body, etc. And let that talk to you from inside as much as these words talk to you from outside. First of all, let's assume that our elemental nature, our earth, air, fire, water makeup, is a mirror of something bigger, something mightier. And to help us with this, I'll remind us that so many of the world's sages have taught us that this human condition of ours is a reflection, like a mirror of something grander. Plato, for example, if you remember, described being human as being like seeing a shadow on a cave wall. The shadow is, in his description, but a hint of the true image that shines brightly outside the cave. And being human, according to him, is like experiencing life as that shadow rather than as the bright, shining something in the bigger reality outside the cave. And just another example, Saul of Tarsus, the St. Paul of Christian scriptures fame, used a similar description. He described our human experience as like, quote, seeing through a glass darkly, unquote. In other words, we get the blurred image of life here rather than the real deal. Well, I'd like to invite us to a slightly different assumption, one that doesn't describe our life here as just a shadow image or a dim view of something greater, but one in which that dim view, which is here, actually holds the key. And this is the miracle of it all. That dim view actually holds the key to experiencing the real deal, larger, grander, fuller reality that lies behind and lives big around the shadow experience. And here's what I mean. Inside, and as an intimate part of that air, just to pick the air element, is the very universe that shines its light, or air, into a specifically physical energy level form. That light, that space, chi, prana, that juice of universal proportions is ours to experience right here, right now, like richly, fully, powerfully, profoundly, if we but, as we're doing right now, open our awareness to its presence right here. So look at it this way. We already give ourselves permission to feel air's energies in our lungs, right? As we breathe in what we call air. With a little twist of imagination, a little twist of focus, we can equally drink in, breathe in, allow in, experience the entire universe, and feel its awesome light, its powerful movement, its remarkable wonder sparkling in us, thriving as a part of us, celebrating the endless of life in us, bringing its splendor like into our bones. Well, I guess you get the idea. So likewise, let me shift to our fire energy, that burning, penetrating element of our sun, and in turn of every one of the gazillions of stars in the multiple universes around us. Our fire energy gives us, through the vehicle of space, the very sun that is shining upon us. We are that sun. That's right. We are the sun. We are the very passionate fire. We are the dynamic, pulsing, rich energy. We are the sexual dynamism, the transforming life force that lives in every star. And just as every star gives life to the space around it, and in some instances in the form of planets or asteroids or comets, each of us gives the very same life, the very same light, vitality to the space around us, because we are that fire, because we are that creative energy of the sun. We give it to the space around us. We give that life, that light, that vitality to our friendships, to our creations, to our accomplishments, to our thoughts, to our feelings, to everything. We are the sun, shining bright every day, even though most of us have bought into what I've come, and I think probably all of us also, have come to call the cloud theory, meaning that when there are clouds in the sky, our view of the sun is blocked. And when we hear ourselves saying something like, gee, the sun isn't shining today, well, of course, the sun's shining. We just don't experience its warmth. We don't experience its fire. But that fire is just as bright. And here, of course, is the point. I know you were saying, when will he get to the point? Well, here it is. When we open ourselves to the fire within our bodies, within our energies, within our emotions, within our thoughts, our brains, our nervous systems, our sexuality, our everything, then we have an instant doorway into the bigger dimension of life, into the very source of that fire, into the sun and its rich, fiery, empowering, dynamic life force. And we are all of a sudden breathing fire, feeling fire, noticing that we're not just another sun, but we are the very sun itself. We're that sun in our bodies, in our energies, yes, in our humanness. Likewise, with our water element, and I'm shifting over to water here. We've come from air to fire to water. That symbol of love, that flowing gift of the planet's oceans, lakes, and streams. Water doesn't just give us her gifts. We are the gift of water. For example, once we recognize that we share every element in the ocean in our bodies, that is, that the entire ocean is reproduced, expressed alive in our human form, then sure enough, what starts happening is we begin to experience oceanness, water, flow, both in us and as us. You know what's puzzled me for years, and I know you're gonna laugh at this. This is gonna sound so silly. But have you ever noticed how all those scientific statistics have said, quote, the human body is 80% water or liquid? Then, equally, they adamantly say, the human body is 90% earth or mass. And then again, we all hear recently, the human body is 99.9% air or space or light. Well, I have to confess that every time I heard one of those statistics, I did the math in my head. I mean, I added up 80%, 90%, and 99.9%, and guess what? The answer to the addition did not come out to 100% as I assumed it would and as I needed it to do so that it could make sense to my trusty little cute mind that just had to have it in black and white, oh, sort of fundamentalist form. Of course, silly Billy, you would say. You're applying a linear thinking to a non-linear phenomenon. It's not either or, Bill. It's both and. Then you would feel very, very sorry for me because I just didn't get it. Oh, poor me. What is my problem? And that's just the point, I believe. We are, at one and the same time, 100% the water of life, the water of the ocean, filled with the power of its waves, the depth of its resonance, the wonder of its life-giving flow. And we are 100% the fire of the sun, experiencing and being its empowering rays of power, of light, of creative energy. And we are 100% the air or light of the universe, embodying its amazing, radiant, and nurturing light in every cell. That's right. We, you and I, have within us the entire universe, the sun and its star makeup, the earth, and every kind of life we can think of. I think it's just that we've forgotten how to access these vital aspects of infinite juice, of cosmic wonder. We've bought into the shadow on the wall of the cave theory about being a human, or my favorite term, being an earthling. Take me to your leader. So, now that we've played in the infinity of our elemental nature just a little bit, let's make a similar visit to our chakras, those seven magical energy centers that house and process this world of energetic life in which we live. We all know, at least I think we do, that, number one, the root chakra, that spinning wheel of energy, is our generative center. It's the home of our sexual, sensual self, the root system in which we transform our primal energies into empowering human energy. And number two, our sacral center, the second chakra, is our energetic ground. It's our center of safety and security. It's our generator of self-empowerment and self-confidence. And our third chakra, our solar plexus, it's where we're connected to the energies of life all around us. It's where we feel not only our own emotions, but we feel the feelings, the energies, the vibrations of everything everywhere. Then we have number four, our heart chakra, that beautiful center of love energies, in which we find deep support for our intimate relationships and bonds, our feelings of compassion and forgiveness, our caring connections. Then we move, number five, to the throat chakra, that center that hosts our genuine creativity, our personal expressiveness, our creative power. And the sixth chakra, the third eye, is our center of awareness, where the powerful energy of consciousness supports our mind and brain, our knowing and wisdom, our visionary gifts, our insights and clarity. And finally, we arrive at our crown chakra, that mighty seventh energy center, which allows us a powerful oneness with life, connection to the universe, the divine and higher consciousness, and access to the deeper, grander secrets of life. Yes, we all know and experience life and the wonder of life and the wonder of these chakras in their defined realities. We delight in their behind-the-scenes activity and we're grateful for their mostly unseen gifts. For example, the gift of our sexuality, our groundedness, our sensitivity, our caring, our creativity, our knowing. We take them for granted just because they're there and they serve us behind the scenes. But what many of us don't recognize is that these mighty chakras, these gift-giving energetic factories in our human form, are also, just as we saw with the elements, are also gateways. Gateways to the endless, wondrous, mighty, expansive, powerful world of energy. Energy itself, to the very source of all energy, to the core and seed and explosive source of everything that is or could ever be called energy. Yes, we, you and I, are 100% energy, just as we are 100% light. Just as we are 100% water, 100% fire, 100% earth. And to make the point, I'd like to read just a brief passage from Bill Bryson's best-selling 2003 book called A Short History of Nearly Everything. And all I have to do is open the book, which I'm in my masterful efficiency doing as we speak. This will only take about an hour. No, that's not true. It's probably about 5 sentences. You may not feel outstandingly robust, but if you are an average-sized adult, you will contain within your modest frame no less than, you'll love this, 7 × 10⁻⁷ joules of potential energy. And here's what he means by that. Enough to explode with the force of 30 very large hydrogen bombs, assuming you knew how to liberate it and really wished to make a point. Everything has this kind of energy trapped within it. We're just not very good at getting it out. Even a uranium bomb, the most energetic thing we have produced yet, releases less than 1% of the energy it could release if only we were more cunning. Imagine that. You literally have a vast, amazing, endless, almost incomprehensible world of energy within you, at your disposal, in service of you. And just as so often we say that we use less than, I think it's 5% of our brain power, just listening to this writing, I believe it's no exaggeration that we use much less than 5% of our energy. So again, here's my point. Here's my invitation. If we spend special, intimate time with our energy, if we show up to its awesome potential within us, we come to experience 2 really important things, either gradually or swiftly. At least I think they're really important. First, we experience more and more of energy's gorgeous presence, its huge power, its awesome potential, its dedicated servantness to us, and its bigger effects within us. And second, and here, I believe, is the human miracle. We recognize that we are that energy. That energy is us. We break through to the amazing truth that built right into our human form is the energetic miracle of life. Then, if we stick with it a bit longer, we realize that we are equally the miracle of energy. And again, of fire, sun, of ocean, water, of earth, planet, and of all life everywhere, we are energy, we are it all. Whew! I know we've made the point adequately, but guess what? I want to ask you to bear with me a little bit longer while I approach this, what I'm calling human miracle, from yet one more angle. And that angle is that of our infinite, delightful, invisible, and yet so adorable light field. Again, we know that we are beings of light, or if you will, light beings, and that light is the pervasive creative juice of the universe. And as we said before, that 99.9% of our bodies are composed of space or light. Nonetheless, most people I know don't have much of an intimate relationship with light. It's a bit too nebulous, invisible for them. They don't really get how light is present and alive and well and active and involved in our every thought, in every activity we're engaged in every movement of each muscle in our body. Yeah, most of us just aren't fully aware of how light is our intimate healer when we're feeling imbalanced or diseased, how light instantly creates exactly what we need to get ourselves moving in the morning. Gee, I wonder if there's light in coffee. I never thought of that, actually, until this very second. And we're not aware of how light is the pervasive power behind the throne of everything we do, everything we think, everything we feel in life. So in short, life is everywhere. It's in everything. It's infused into every atom of every cell of every person in every world, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Gee, I wonder if I've made the point. By now, of course, you're on to my game. You've found my rhythm. You have a strong sense of where I'm going with light. Yes, you've got me pegged, by golly, and you realize that I'm about to make the point that light is also the doorway to a major phenomenal truth, a truth that says you and I are the very light that we're filled with, that we are the light field that holds all life, which means that each of us, you and me, each of us holds all life everywhere. That we are the light radiance, the light resonance, the light pulsings, the light waves, light rays of life everywhere. Yes, everywhere. And gee, have I mentioned everywhere. So get ready. Get ready for the big pitch, the full Monty, the bench press, the pièce de la résistance, the cherry on the sundae. Oh, need I go on? Here it is. Picture this. If you were light, and of course, silly, you are, but if you were light, what would you be all about? What would you be doing? What would you be inspired to or to create? How would you want to express? My guess is that you might first and foremost say to yourself, I think I'll create me as though I'm a shadow, just like Plato's shadow on the cave wall analogy. And I'll create that shadow or mirror, as a human being. And here and now, that human being is you. So, here you are, human being, seemingly living a shadowed style existence. And you are not only infused with light, you are that light. You are that creative juice of the universe. You are the purest, most vital, clearest force that the world has ever seen. You are invisible as well as visible, light as well as shadowed, endless, expansive as well as limited or contained. You are as light full of healing, full of empowering and amazing transformational gifts, all because your nature is both finite and infinite, light as well as matter, bright and sparkling as well as shadowy and dim. If you look at yourself as not just blessed by light, or water, or earth, or fire, or air, or energy for that matter, but look at yourself as light itself, like right now, imagine what would occur in your life, either gradually or swiftly. You would become light, both in your consciousness and in your activities, both in your thoughts and in your feelings, both in your body and in your energies, both in your connectedness and in your core. When you accept that light is your nature, not just that you share in the infinite light of life, but that there's absolutely no difference between you and light. When you accept that you are light, clear and through, fully and undeniably, profoundly in your depth and core, then light becomes your identity. Yes, light becomes your identity and has no impediment or barrier to creating, inventing, healing, or loving fully as the rich, dynamic being of light that you are. Wow, we've looked at ourselves as elemental, we've looked at our chakra-filled selves, and now our light selves. And we've seen that in every instance, when we put each of these aspects of our humanity under the fine-tuned spyglass or microscope, we see a miracle. And the miracle is this. Under the microscope, we see God. We see infinity. We see not the shadow on the cave wall, but the real thing, the real deal, the source of that shadow. Better yet, in the very act of putting these elements under the microscope, in the very act of opening ourselves to their fuller reality, we become them. Yes, we become the bigger fullness of energy. We become the healing power of light. We become the pure passion of fire. We become the cleansing purity of air and the creative flow of water and the unending beauty of life and the infinite glory of God. And we become the utter wonder of life. So let's look at this right now, for example. Just since we've been talking, what's happening in you, in your body, in your awareness, in your chakras, in your energy field, in your person? My guess is, and I'm not trying to put words into your mouth, that you're noticing some or perhaps even all of these qualities of life more present to you, more alive within you, more maybe speaking to you, more active in your inner dynamics. My sense is that in perhaps this very moment, following our microscope process, your light is sparkling at least a little bit more in your body. Or your fire energy is moving and grooving perhaps more powerfully in your energy. Or your water energy is speaking more graphically within you. On top of that, my further sense is this. That if you would take, or I would take, some moments each day simply to show up in a similar way, or in your own way, my own way, to these aspects of our humanness, or to some of the many other aspects as well, bit by bit, or quickly, you would witness them becoming you, and you becoming them, until one day you would notice that you literally are light, you are energy, you are every element of life that could be seen, felt, or in your awareness. Beyond that, as perhaps a next step, you would discover that you have gradually become their voice, their vehicle, their expression, their representative, their embodiment. And finally, after perhaps a bit more time, or maybe it won't take so much time, you'll see clearly that you literally are light and you are everything else. And at that point, I believe you will have fulfilled the fullness of your human journey, and you simply take your place as life. And that's all that ever need be said, ever. Whoa. So, what is the miracle? What is the human miracle? If you recall again the topic of this conversation, the human miracle, I believe, is this. Built intimately into the underlying fabric of our humanness is the infinite all, A-L-L, and the infinite awe, A-W-E, of life. But it's placed there for some strange reason to look like a shadow, to appear as a dimly lit candle, to seem like a hidden treasure. And when we dare or care to open the treasure chest, to peer deeply into the shadow, or to magnify the dimly lit candle, something happens. Something miraculous happens. We open magically to the real treasure, to the pure light that sparks the dim candle, to the powerful source that creates the shadow. And we, if you will, break the code. We uncover the nature of the game. We trick the coyote. We awaken to life's secret. We discover the miracle of life, the miracle that's right here under our noses, right here in our heart's center, right here in the middle of our very humanness. Yes, the human miracle is the simple, natural realization, discovery, that everything we think we're separate from is us. The human miracle is the deeper truth that what we see, we are. that what we're propelled by, we embody, that what we're given life by, we are equally giving life to. What we love, we become. What we think is a higher power is the very power that we are. What we want, we already embody. We already are, and we live already fully in. The human miracle, short and sweet, is this. It's what happens when we just show up to anything. When we show up to anything, we become it because we already are it. We already are those elements. We already are those chakraed energies. We already are the light field, the energy field, the infinity field, the divinity field, the human field, the animal field, the nature field, the everything field of life. We're it. And that's the miracle of life. In conclusion, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being so intimately a part of this dialogue, this conversation, this focused, intimate moment together. Thank you for being in my life and that of Donna and that of Eleanor. Thank you for being so beautifully such a full embodiment and expression of life that you truly are. And also, finally, thank you. Thank you for partnering with me in this amazing, awesome human miracle that we're all opening to, that we're all engaged in, that we're all discovering together. And as we conclude, may I share with you one of those cute, silly love poems that I've recently wrote. It's in the collection that I'm currently calling The Soul in Love, and the writings that express how the soul sees this human miracle through the eyes of love. And here it is for your enjoyment, for your entertainment, for your expansion, and also, if you will, as an expression of a special blessing from me. It's entitled, Do You Remember? Look at you, pure, radiant, glamorous soul, beaming ray of infinity's light. I was just thinking about that sacred moment when your soul was graciously thrust from the blissful heart of divine love, only to land mightily on this precious earth, generously becoming one of us. Can you recall what it was like before that eventful trip? Your eternal, so free, your soul so immense, so vast. Can you remember being that brilliant ray of light, floating gleefully in endless fields of divine love? Ah, you were so amazing, so limitless, so grand. A ray of bright sunshine to all around you, an unspeakable delight to behold. Now look at you, all dressed up in your own human body, filled to overflowing with your own human emotions, stirred from within by rich desires and dreams, daily transfixed by your creations and successes. Yes, you've become an honest-to-goodness, official human being. Good for you. Do you still remember your glowing light, your beauty soul, your amazing spirit, your infinite elegance, your mystical splendor, your vast radiance? They're all here, you know, these dazzling qualities of your past. They're alive and well, here and now, in you, through you, around you.
The last 5 minutes said something like this. The miracle that is built into our humanness is the privilege that we have, you and I, of tapping into anything that's in the shadow, in the shadow on the cave, the dimly lit candle aspects of humanness. And just by showing up to them, just by being present to whatever that facet of self or of humanness is, a miracle happens. The more we're present to it, the more we open to the infinity of life, the wonder of life. For example, the more we attune to the earth, air, fire, water in us, the more we become that. And that's the big point, that we have the privilege of becoming that aspect of life that we put our attention on, that we show up to, that we become, that we are in what feels like the shadow aspect of ourself. In truth, built into you, built into me, is an amazing quality of life that is God or Goddess, that is the infinite. And that is present here.
Oh, you changed
now.
That's
right.